Snell, and Bill's looking for his red hanky. Official if you're getting into it. And Garrett's so maddening right now for him to draw that penalty. And that's...
He's hearing it from upstairs. Could you see it?
Is challenging the ruling on the field of defensive pass interference.
All of us in the booth, and then to the Patriots players, and I think some of the Vikings players, as they were switching personnel. Thielen came over and...
The receiver established control of the football, got 2 feet down inbound. It is a completed catch for a first down at the 43-yard line of Green Bay.
He might break something when he throws that challenge flag.
He's got to be careful. He's got to be...
All right, next week we are starting a brand new series simply called Challenge Flag. Now, if you love football, yes, praise Jesus, it's from God. If your spouse loves football, if you have ever walked into a sports bar and football was playing on the TV at any point in time, you are aware of exactly what a challenge flag is. So a challenge flag, if you're not sure what that is, a challenge flag is a play happens on the field. And the officials either make a call or they miss a call. And then what follows is this, as you saw in the little thing there. Usually, the head coach loses his ever-loving mind. He begins to shout words that would get your child kicked out of preschool. And then he reaches into his pocket or into his sock or into his coat and he pulls out a red flag and as vociferously as he possibly can, chucks it onto the field with disdain and disgust. And then the officials come jogging over and they're like, what would you like to challenge? Like they didn't know that they just missed the most important call that the world has ever seen. And then the official runs over to the little TV screen, he puts on the headset, and he talks to the head official that's usually in, what's it, Teterboro, New Jersey or something like that. And so they're all watching it together and they're looking at it and they're making sure from all the different angles that they get this call right. And then he takes off his headset, he hands it to the guy that gets paid minimum wage to hold all these things, runs to the center of the field, taps his hip because he's got to make sure that his microphone is on, and proceeds to tell everyone that even though they had all the time to look at it and make it right, they still got it wrong, and they're going to keep it that way. That's exactly what happens. And so we watch that, and we're like, wow, that is so absolutely twisted that they have such a hard time. And what the flag means is that the coach is irreversibly and with as much gusto as he can challenging the authority of the statement that the officials just made. They said this ball was in. He's saying it was out. They're saying the ball was caught. He's saying the ball wasn't caught. They're saying there's pass interference. He's saying the guy tripped over his own feet. Did you see him when he got out of his car today? He didn't have his shoes tied. I'm like, literally, that's what's happening. And so in this series, what we're going to do, we're going to look at some of the most, I would say, common things that you hear about God and the church and what people tend to think about God and the church. And my desire is to, as unbiased as I possibly can, and I know I'm biased, and we're all biased, right, in our own opinion, but as unbiased and as honestly as we possibly can, look at each of these statements and go, okay, what part of it's true? Because honestly, a lot of these statements, there's part of it that's true. What part of it isn't true, and what part of it maybe has been misunderstood, the way that it was said or the way it was done. So without much further ado, here are the five statements that we're going to be challenging over the next 5 weeks. The first one is in week one, and it's going to be this. It's God hates sex. Now, you'll notice, just really quickly, notice on the right-hand side, what does it say after that? It says what? So if you're like, maybe I should, you know, I've been really thinking about putting my kids in Kid Zone. Next week is the week, okay? That's just the week because we're going to talk about that. You're like, I think God hates sex. Well, no, actually, we'll talk about that next week and we'll be able to do it. So in week two, we're going to talk about the fact that the church is against everything. The church is against everything. Like, the church is all about you not having fun. You know, it's a bunch of stodgy people that just, they, you know, they've got sticks in certain places and they're just so just, church just hates everything. So that's week two. Week three, we're going to be that all Christians are hypocrites. Now, okay, just so you're like, now that one I can get behind. So here's, I think honestly, if we said all people are hypocrites, we could probably go, yeah, that's probably true. Because we all are hypocrites in different ways and different things. So we're going to talk about what that means. In week four, we're going to talk about the fact that all religions are the same. You've probably heard that, right? All religions are the same. They all teach basically the same thing. They all lead to the same place. All religions are the same. And then last week, the one that I'm sure we're not going to have any division over is that Jesus is a Republican. No. Jesus is a Democrat. No, Jesus is a libertarian. So, like, literally, everybody claims him, right? Like, well, if Jesus were here, he would be. So we're just going to look at that and figure out, you know, what political party Jesus is really a part of, because just so you know, he transcends politics, and I don't think he cares whether you've got a D or R or an I don't know after your name in doing that. So it's about the character. So we'll get into this. So those are the five topics that we are going to be looking at. But today, since we've got so many friends and family members and coworkers with us today, I'm gonna actually throw a challenge flag today, and I'm gonna do it on a statement that maybe when you were invited this morning, or you were invited sometime this week or last week, that maybe you even made the statement yourself, and it goes something like this: church just isn't for me, or you know what, I don't need church. So, in the form, in the thematic scheme of our series, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, that's ridiculous. Okay, there we go. So, that's, I had to do it. Okay, so, listen, over the last several years, I mean, it's been happening for a long time, and we've never been really what I would say unified on a whole lot of things as a country and as a world. But have you noticed over the last 4 to 5 years just how divided things have gotten? I mean, you're like, well, I like white bread. Well, you know what? You can just go pound sand because do you know how bad white bread is for you? It's bleached of everything, and it's terrible, and it makes you puffy, and you should get the bread that's got all the grains in it. Oh, well, I can't have the grains because the grains get in my teeth. What's wrong with you? You don't want me to have to go to the dentist? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Everyone gets angry and upset and divided over absolutely everything. I mean, politics is the one that usually comes to the surface, right? And we've got people who are, they're politically on the far right, people who are politically on the far left. People are like, well, I'm center right. Then you've got, well, I'm kind of center left. Then you've got the independents. And then you've got, you know, the libertarians that are all out there by themselves. They're like, hey, would anyone pay attention to us? That's just for you, Jessica. Just... So, like, literally, it's just, you know, it's so funny that it's just so wild that we get so divided about those things. But what's funny is it's not just politics, it's generationally. Have you noticed that? So the boomers, I know we've only got a handful of you here, but the boomers, they hate the millennials. They're like, you know, get up off the couch. Why don't you do this? Why are you playing games? What's wrong with you? Get off your phone. All like the boomers hate millennials. The millennials, they hate Gen X because that's their parents. Like, The Gen Z, they just hate everybody. Nobody. And Gen X is like, hey, man, we're just living our best life. That's, you know, so it's literally, generationally, we're just all disconnected. Even with what has become normal human interaction, we get upset and divided. Now, I'll give you some perfect examples. Texting. There are a lot of different kind of texters in the world, aren't there? There is the ignoring texter. That you text them and you go, I will hear back from them 12 days from now. And what's crazy is those people, can I just share with you, if you're one of those people, can I turn off your read receipts? Because we all know that you read it and just went, yeah, they're not important enough to respond to. So there's the ignoring texter. Then there's the interrupted in texture. Here's who they are, right? They're the people that say good morning in seven different text bubbles. Hey, return. How, return. Are you, return. This morning, question mark. And you're like, listen, you could put that all in one text bubble. It'd be all right to do that and send that. Then my personal hate is the group texter. There's a special place in hell for y'all. I'm just saying. You're like, hey, everybody, and it comes through, and you see your phone number and eight other people, and it's just phone number because you have no idea who they are, and then all of a sudden your phone blows up for the next hour and a half, and people are sending pictures and memes and screenshots, and you're like, how do I get out of this? And you can't. You are in group text jail for the rest of your life. The one, though, I have to chuckle at the most is all you voice-to-texters. Right? Wow. Especially when you're walking out in public. Okay, go ahead and send that. Send. No, send. 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 So when it first came out about 10 years ago, it was really funny. There's a whole bunch of memes. Some of them are going to be blurry because they're so old, but they're just still so good. So I got some screenshots of some of the best talk to text that were clean, because some of them weren't. That really, over the years, you're like, yeah, I think I've been there. And this is not to pick on moms, but most of them were from moms. I just gotta tell you. So the first one was, I call it Hi Bridget. Hi Bridget, I space, how space, are you space, doing period capital I love this new phone, exclamation point. I see you're using voice to text. You don't have to say space, mom, it does it for you. I cucumber letter P Ritalin. No clue. The next one, I call it the oops pick. Mom, oops, oh, oops. There's some fried fish. Oh, honey, I know you're not fixing to get over in my lane, are you? So she's texting while she's driving. All right, and so that you don't think I'm picking on moms, this is from a professor to one of his students, or student to one of his professors. Hey, are you available for a Friday lesson on Friday? Hey, I'm away this weekend, Friday through Sunday. I'm giving a colonic. I think it's full. But you're welcome to come watch. Now, by the way, if you're sitting here going, I don't know what a colonic is, ask your parents later. Okay, so... Thanks, but I think I'll skip it. Clinic, I said clinic. I have never nor will I ever give anyone a colonic. Voice to text sucks. And we can all say amen. It does, yes. Wow, okay. So, you know, we have all these things in society that we are already struggling, right, to make meaningful connections with people. We just struggle with it at times. Our world has become so diverse, and there's so many things that we can sit at home. And I love Amazon. Like, the Amazon delivery driver and I are on a first-name basis. And, you know, if we don't get a delivery for a few days, I get a text, you guys okay? Still alive? I mean, I love that. But, you know, when you don't go out shop, you don't connect with other people. And social media, all these things. And so we've gotten so disconnected from one another. And unfortunately, with the things that have happened over the last several years with politics and health and COVID and all these different things, it's just expedited the process. And we've become exponentially deepened our feelings of being disconnected and far from other people. In fact, I think it's relatively safe to say that the average person today has fewer meaningful connections than they did in any other time in human history. It's just, we just don't have real, genuine connections with other people. And as a church, this is something that we believe that we cannot just sit by on the sidelines and hope it gets better. We actually believe that the world needs the church more than anything else. Our world needs the church. Our community needs the church desperately, because the church should be a safe place for you to ask questions, to try to figure out what world and God and all these different things are all about. And God literally established the church for the purpose of the church helping people connect with God and connect with others. That's the purpose. That's why God created the church. Because he's like, hey, my son Jesus Christ has died on the cross. I need a vehicle. I need people who are ready to convey that message with people that there's hope and there's meaning and there's feelings of fulfillment and joy and purpose in your life. And then as you do that, you connect with other people. In fact, the church is literally called the body of Christ, because we're supposed to connect with people in such a way that the body connects with each other. Now, I'm not going to lie. My body has some issues sometimes. Knees right now are really killing me. Anyone with you this morning? Like, knees just, wow. All right, we'll all go for a knee surgery later today. So, but like, literally, it when it doesn't work right, it's painful and it hurts. So when God created the world, he actually created us with a design feature. And this design feature that was built into our DNA was a design that we needed to be able to connect with other people to experience genuine fulfillment in life. Listen to this, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image after our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So we see this, God creates, and so the first part is he creates Adam, right? And then he brings all the animals by Adam. And he goes, okay, I want you to name all the animals. And so Adam's naming all the animals. And he's realizing there is nothing else like me in all the world. And so God goes, okay, I'm going to put you to sleep. And he puts him to sleep. He takes the rib out of his side and he forms or fashions a woman. And God then presents Adam. He goes, here, Adam, here is Eve. Here's one who is like you that you can connect with. So even though Adam was the first man, even though there was no sin, no nothing like that, Adam knew, he's like, I need connection with something and someone that's like me. And so God comes and he shows Adam, Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And he brings Eve, and his first response is, yeah, one who is like me, but really different in good ways. I like this. This is great. And so we're created with this desire. A part of who God created us to be is to connect with us. So I give this thing called a big idea. So here's the big idea today. We were created to be connected. We were created to be connected. We fit with each other. God created human beings as relational beings. There's a longing within each of us. There's a desire within our DNA to be connected with other people. Now I know, so you're like, well, I don't really like people that much. I totally get it, but there are times when you just need to connect with people on a deeper level, right? Some of you go, well, you know, I don't like other people so much, but I like my family, and I've got my family, and that's all I need. Okay, well, let me just share this with you. Back in the 1800s, pioneer families would take off. They'd load up their little wagon. They'd start going across the plains to the Midwest and the West and all these different things, and they would be their own little family unit as they would go out in their little wagon, you know, and they're having, this is so great. It's a little adventure. In 1880, an article came out talking about how many people all of a sudden were going insane. Not kidding. It was in the Plains Humanities, and it was the Federal Census of 1880. Now listen to this. The Federal Census of 1880 states that for undetermined reasons, the number of persons regarded to be insane increased greatly in the United States during the latter part of the 19th century. And then you begin to look into it, and you see these things that these families would go out there and they'd live remotely all by themselves, and they would just kind of lose their mind. Some of them would wander off in snowstorms because they're like, well, if I wander off in a snowstorm, they can never find me again. Others would lose it and they'd kill themselves. Others would lose it and they'd kill their whole family. Because you need something outside of family to be able to connect with other human beings. Because here's the thing, if you're a parent, your kids have your crazy too. You need a little outside crazy to help balance out yours. And so we just understand that we need more than that. This desire to get connected is actually a spiritual part of the way that God made us. In fact, that's why solitary confinement is one of the most brutal forms of punishment that can be given to a human being. You read up on it. That is the most, one of the most brutal forms of solitary confinement, no connection with the outside world. God designed us to be connected. Now, whenever I think about the word connected, I always think of Legos. That's just, my brain always goes to that. I don't know, anyone else find it super satisfying when you put two together and you get that click and you're like, oh, that just scratches an itch you didn't even know you had. You're like, that sounds so good. But you know what's interesting too is Legos, when they're all by themselves, are the greatest torture device ever known to man. 2 o'clock in the morning, dad, you get up because you need some water. And you walk through the family room, and in your nice plush carpet, you find a single solitary Lego with its corner straight up. It is like unbelievably painful, right? You see, that's how people are when they're not connected to others. You ever known somebody like that? They're so disconnected with others, but they're just mean, and they hurt people. They're all about themselves. They're self-absorbed. They're radical in how they think. And they have no connection with others. And so because of that, what they do is they hurt people. But when you take Legos and you connect them together, you can build unbelievable things. I am not a Lego master in any way, shape, or form. And I will be very honest with you. I have never once wasted any time sitting down and watching the TV show Lego Masters. However, and I know some of you are like, Dave, we can no longer be friends. Listen, if you were watching Lego Masters before, we weren't. Just kidding. But look at this, okay? Look at some of these things that these people created. I mean, that's like the Titanic, I think, that the guy made with Legos. All right, now watch this next one. This next one's crazy. It is Poseidon trying to kill, I don't know, the Leviathan or something like that. That's freaking Legos that person made this out of. Look at this next one. It is a Colosseum where I think Transformers are fighting each other in a Colosseum in doing that. Look at this next one. Okay, this next one's really wild. So this is a robot crab coming out of the ocean attacking, I think, the San Francisco Bay Bridge, and then another monster coming over the other side. I think that's what that is, but I'm not 1,000% sure. And I think, do we have one more picture of that, Kevin? One more picture? All right, one more picture. This is my Legos. Isn't that nice? Yeah, I don't know. So listen, if you're here today and you're thinking to yourself, I just don't need church. I don't even get why people go to church, or church isn't for me. I want to share with you two things that we believe about the church here at Friendship. Number one, the church is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. Here's why I say that. When Jesus rose again and he commissioned his disciples, he said, your responsibility is to tell everyone about me. Now, I know the church and I know Christians can be idiots, present company included. And we are human beings, and so therefore there are times that we hurt people, right? We shouldn't, but we do. But the purpose of the church and the purpose of everyone that knows Jesus is to share the hope that this life is not without purpose, that when you die, it's not over with, that there's a God who loves you, who gave his life for you, and he wants to connect with you in a way that you cannot even begin to understand, and that when you do that, even the most mundane tasks of your life can take unbelievable meaning and purpose, and you can experience, even when life sucks, fulfillment and joy. That's the hope that the church offers the world through Jesus Christ. There is no other institution in the world that even comes close to offering that. You look at education, Education can make people very smart or very dumb. It just depends. You ever met a really, really smart person who was an absolute jerk? Education can make you smart, but it can't make you kind. It can't make you loving. It can't make you appreciate other people in different ways. Relationships. I'd not even bother ask if any of you have been hurt by a relationship in your life before, or if you've had a relationship that you thought, well, this is the greatest thing ever, and then all of a sudden it turned black. Relationships can destroy you. I've known people who literally never recovered from a broken or hurting relationship. Relationships aren't going to do it. Religion, you're like, oh, religion, aren't you a religion? No, we're not a religion. I'm going to tell you that really clear. We're not a religion. Religion is man's made-up attempt to be able to do enough good stuff to get to God. That's not what God says. That's not how God says it works. God says, I want a relationship with you. That's what Christianity is about. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what religion says is, I want you to do all these different things. I want you to change all these different things. And if you do all these things, maybe by the time you breathe your last breath, you'll have done enough good to make God happy. That's a terrifying thought, isn't it? Medicine. Medicine can do a lot of good for you. There's a lot of good things that you can do. I'm not saying doctors or nurses or medicine are evil or anything like that, but you know what? Medicine can really mess you up. You take this pill with this pill and you go crazy. You take this pill with this pill, you will never leave the bathroom ever again the rest of your life. I mean, it can really, and it's not going to really change who you are. It may change some of the things that you can do, but it can't change who you are. So when you look at the church, you look at Christianity, the message of Jesus Christ, all these other things are like, well, hey, we can fix that, or we can replace that, or we can change that, or like religion, you do enough good things, you may be able to earn it. And so what Jesus Christ says, and what the message of the church of Jesus Christ is this. See, the world or religion says, if you do this, you'll get this. Jesus says, I did this. So now you are accepted. It's not about anything you do. It's about what Jesus Christ already did for you. And that's the hope. You don't have to be good enough. You can just accept Jesus Christ and he will change you from the inside out. So the church is the hope of the world. The second thing we believe about the church is that there's nothing like the church when the church is working right. Now, so you're like, yeah, I noticed that last part. Yeah, you know what? There's nothing like the church when the church is working right. But I will be very honest with you. There is nothing like the church when the church is not working right. It is whacked. It is messed up. It is painful. It is hurting. And I know that that is some of your backgrounds and some of the things that you experienced. And I totally understand it. You're like, well, church is terrible because that was your experience. But just like I shared a few weeks ago, if you went to a restaurant, you wouldn't swear off all restaurants that were bad. If you drove a car that was really terrible, you wouldn't say, I'm going to walk everywhere for the rest of my life. You would go, I'm not going to go back to that one because that one's messed up. But you need it. So you find one that works, and you find one that works the way that it's supposed to. There's nothing like the church when the church is working right. And here's, you can look it up, I challenge you to. Christianity has started more hospitals, orphanages, battered women, children's centers, homeless shelters, schools, and community gathering places than all other entities in the world combined. That's when the church is working right. It's not just about them. It's about the world and the community around it. There's nothing like the local church, when the church is working right. Because what happens is we will see more and more children and families and friends and neighbors become more and more isolated and disconnected from each other and the community and from God if the church isn't working right. And that'll leave a whole lot of little Legos for all of us to step on for the rest of our lives. So, I've said this before, and I believe it's 100% true, the church is only one generation away from not being around anymore. It's something that has to be continually grown and cultivated and become who we're supposed to be. So our desire as a church and the leadership of Friendship is that we've made the conscious and intentional decision to do everything that we can to help the people of our community get reconnected with each other, with the church, and ultimately with Jesus Christ. And that's why we do things like tailgate party. That's why we do it. We're so happy that you are here today, even if it's just for the free food. We are, seriously. And we hope that you have an awesome time. We hope that you make some new connections. And, of course, we hope that you'll stick around and have fun. And we'd love to see you next week. And, you know, we're not just, and I hope you feel this, we're not just a building. We're not just a group of hypocritical people who like to complain about everybody else. We actually believe that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And when you get to know him, that you will know and believe the same thing as well. Instead, we hope that you will see the church, at least this church, is designed with you in mind, and that our biggest goal is to help you develop deeper connections with other people and ultimately with Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much. We are unbelievably blessed that you would allow us to connect with other people, that you created us in a way with a desire for those deeper connections and that love with you. And so, God, I pray that today, I pray that as we hang out, we enjoy each other, we celebrate, that, God, we make some of those new connections. That, God, if today there's somebody here that doesn't know your son Jesus Christ yet, that they would begin that process of asking those questions and asking and trying to figure out what's that all about. And if they're ready to take that step, God, I pray that as we close this time of worship out with a couple of songs just to kind of solidify these thoughts in our minds and praise you, God, I pray that whatever we walked in here with, whether it was with baggage or with hurt or with suspicion or not really sure or doubts, God, I pray that as we sing, we just kind of allow our shoulders to drop a little bit. We'd allow our hands to open a little bit, just kind of let go of those things. And we would just sing. We would just praise you. We'd just worship you. And we'd leave here lighter. We'd leave here knowing more about you. And we'd leave here with a new friend or two as we desire to understand who you are and how you want to grow us and love us. We thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and respond.